Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Well, listen to this. Here's a sound that's pretty easy to associate with capitalism. You know what that is? That's the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange. Now, here's a sound that you probably don't associate with competition and leverage and profit. Those are Trappist monks. And it's true, you're not going to find them on the trading floor or manning a terminal at Goldman Sachs, thankfully. But author and entrepreneur August Turek attributes a lot of his success to his time spent living and working alongside Trappist monks, like the ones you just heard. His book, Business Secrets of the Trappist Monks, pays homage to the success of these monks, not despite their principles, but because of them. And he joins me in the studio now. Hi, August.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for being here. Right off the top, I know you're ready for this question, and you better be. When I read your essays on the business practices of the Trappist monks, I thought, God, it's antithetical. Taking the monastic lifestyle, the peaceful lifestyle, and using it to be a better capitalist, a better profiteer, on its face, sounds sacrilegious.
Well, only if you think there's something sacrilegious about profit in the first place. But as I always try to say is, we're all trying to profit. I do gardening, for example. When I plant seeds, I spend $2 on the seeds. I'm hoping to get $10 worth of vegetables out of them. So we always have to have some kind of growth. And, of course, they're a self-supporting community. They have to come up with some way to pay the bills, to pay for the electricity, to pay for their food and everything. So they've long, for 2,000 years, 1,500 anyway, they've been known for having the highest quality products and the highest values, and which has produced an incredible brand around anything that they do in terms of business. There was actually an article, I wish I'd have kept it, a few years ago that said that Trappist, not Adam Smith, invented capitalism.
Trappist invented it.
Right.
Well, explain briefly, if you would, some of your time with them. You've been going to a monastery where, in upstate New York?
No. It's in right outside Charleston, South Carolina. It's called Mepkin Abbey. It's in, actually, ironically, in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, but it's a man named Monk with a CK, not a K.
All right.
And I started going there back in 1996, not for business reasons. At that time, I had two of my own software companies. I'd had a tremendous career with companies like MTV and the Arts and Entertainment Network. But I found myself in 1996, the little rich boy that had it all and didn't have anything. And I went looking for – that's the subtitle of the book, One CEO's Quest for Meaning and Authenticity. That's what took me to the monks originally.
One might look at that journey and say meaning and authenticity on a personal level for you, August mm-hmm. Turek, taking away lessons from Monk's Corner, South Carolina, and your time spent with the monks, really your time spent with yourself – and being a better MTV executive
right.
or a better seller of widgets is not really what the monks' lifestyle is supposed to be about.
Well, think about it this way. What the monks, the centerpiece of the monks' lifestyle is selflessness. You know, there's even a Christian term called kenosis from St. Paul, which means self-emptying. So their whole idea is to live what I call a life of service and selflessness. Now, let's apply that to business, myself especially, because I came up through sales and marketing. Every great sales representative knows that the more he forgets himself, forgets his product, forgets his quota, and forgets his commissions, and fanatically focuses on delighting his customers, the commissions and the quota and everything else is going to take care of itself. So the commissions and the money and the profit are the byproduct. When corporations fanatically focus on delighting customers, profit takes care of itself. So it's really the fact that what we really think of in terms of success is actually in the terms of the monks, and I'm advocating it for everybody, and my own company was built this way. The more we focus on higher values, the more successful we're going to become. It's not a trade-off. It is actually just darn good business.
So when you're at the monastery, and I know that they make a lot of cheese, they grow vegetables, they do other things at extraordinary profit. I had read in your writings that they put about 4 hours of work in a day. The rest of the time is spent in devotional prayer or meditation. But that 4 hours of work a day is extremely full of intention, isn't it, and focus?
Absolutely. It's what I call working, doing everything for excellence for the sake of excellence. In their case, I call it a prayerful attitude. And this is not just the monks. You know, people talk about lofty missions. I hear this in business all the time. Oh, if you have a lofty mission, it's just unfocused and it's all motherhood and fluff. But something like the Marine Corps can take something that is motherhood and fluff. We're dedicated to the country, to the Marine Corps, and our fellow Marines. That's the mission. And they can infuse that into something like push-ups, where these guys are thinking, every push-up I do is incredibly important. So it's not just the monks, and that's what they do. They can they have this preternatural focus that they bring into their business, because the motto of the monastic tradition is ora et labora, which means pray and work. And for a monk, prayer is a form of work, and work is a form of prayer. They're almost indistinguishable to them. And when we bring that same kind of attitude to our own careers and the way we treat other people, it pays off for us as well.
But then the next question is probably the most important one, since we're talking about spirituality as well as profit. Service and selflessness. What you say in this book and what you're describing are principles that allow a business leader to do better on the bottom line. You do service, you do selflessness, the profit takes care of itself.
Right.
But then the question is, service and selflessness for its own sake? What is service and selflessness if it's in the service of profit and not done for its own
sake? It's not in the service of profit. A lot of what I'm talking about here is just an ancient principle that goes back to the more you do good, the more it comes back to you.
Hey, August, do you have a mantra or an aphorism that applies to business that you can take us out on? Or
yes, I would say it is in your own self-interest to forget your self-interest.
The words of August Turek, author of Business Secrets of the Trappist Monk. Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.